baseball.
This is the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast, the only podcast devoted entirely to Arkansas baseball, featuring interviews with coaches and guests from across the country.
Welcome in Kendall Rogers of D1Baseball.com, Joe Healy of Baseball America, Chris Burke is with the ESPN SEC Network.
Now from Fayetteville, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Before Arkansas went to Houston last week, Dave Van Horn told players and media alike that the trip would tell him a lot about his team, good or bad. There was a lot of bad for the Razorbacks at the College Classic. They were competitive. They had three losses to Oklahoma, Texas, and Baylor, Big 12 teams, by a combined five runs, but errors and mental mistakes and the lack of timely hitting took their toll and made you feel like the weekend really wasn't all that productive, even with close losses. Arkansas's losses to OU and Texas were ultimately decided by errors, and for the weekend, Arkansas gave up seven unearned runs on seven errors. The Hogs nearly rallied from an eight-run deficit against the Longhorns, but couldn't push home that final run after a flurry of hits late in the game. You thought because of the way that game ended that Arkansas might come out sharp the next night against Baylor, but the Razorbacks were flat again. Baylor went up 3-0, and like the night before, the Hogs couldn't get the game-tying hit late in the game. And then to compound things, Arkansas lost its following game against Illinois State two nights later. Illinois State, a three-win team, once again, that loss by one run. So four straight losses for Arkansas, three of them by one run. Today on the podcast, we'll take a look back at the College Classic with Pat Combs, who was on the call for all of the Razorbacks games there. Plus, we'll take a look ahead to Arkansas's upcoming series against South Alabama with Craig Stevenson, who covers the Jaguars for AL.com. The Whole Hog Baseball Podcast is brought to you in part by First Watch, the daytime cafe, now with three locations in Northwest Arkansas, in Fayetteville on College Avenue, in Rogers on Village Parkway, and in Bentonville on Southeast Walton Boulevard, a breakfast, brunch, and lunch experience that feels good and tastes even better. For more, visit firstwatch.com.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast.
A four-game losing streak in a 56-game regular season will understandably cause some concern, especially with some of the ways that Arkansas has lost in the last week, with errors and a lack of production, with runners in scoring position, including a few times, maybe several times, with less than two outs. But I also think there's something to be said for it's early in the season and that these issues, or at least the defensive ones, tend to take care of themselves as the year goes along. From a hitting standpoint, the lineup you saw in Houston very well could be different from the lineup that you'll see for the majority of the rest of this year. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me at all to see Heston Kerstad move to first base some for this weekend's games against South Alabama. I also think you'll see Zach Gregory get up in the lineup some more. Maybe not see Cole Austin as much. Austin's been struggling some at the plate. Really good defensive first baseman, just hasn't really produced at the plate this season for the Razorbacks. A college team at this point in the year is far from a finished product. And if you have been following Arkansas's team for very long under Dave Van Horn at all, you're going to know that he's going to tweak with the lineup. He's going to tinker with the rotation. He's going to mess with the bullpen until he finds a flow that really works for his team. And I think you learn a lot at this point in the year. You learn, you know, maybe what pitchers need to throw one inning of relief against a team, maybe instead of two. You learn which hitters are reliable in a pinch hit situation. You figure out your identity and you go from there. And I think that happened last year, about this time, maybe a little bit later in the season, late March, early April. Arkansas lost four in a row, including a game against UALR that had a lot of people really concerned about the direction of the team. There was a lot of concern at that point, but things began to turn around at Auburn, and from there, Arkansas won 17 of their next 21 games. That team won 40 games in the regular season. And there is no doubt in my mind that this Arkansas team is talented. It just has to find its meshing point the way that last year's team did. The big talking point coming out of Houston was the struggles of Casey Martin. Of course, he didn't have a very good weekend at the plate. 1-for-9, 6 strikeouts in games against Oklahoma and Texas. Dave Van Horn took him out of the lineup for the Baylor game. That snapped a streak of 102 straight starts for Casey. It was the first time he hadn't played or started in a game since April of 2018. It was a midweek game against Texas Tech. And as I kind of thought he might do, He bounced back with a strong performance in the next game against Illinois State on Tuesday of this week. Went 4-for-5, 3 RBI, a run scored. His only out was a strikeout that followed a couple of failed bunt attempts. And Casey was really hard on himself after the game that he wasn't able to get those bunt attempts down. You would think that someone who had struggled as much as he did early in the year would be happy, you know, with a four-hit performance, even in spite of a team loss. But it seemed like what, you know, he was really focused on after that game was the inability to put the sack bunt down. And I think maybe that gives you just a little bit of an idea where his mindset's at right now, you know, that he's certainly not pleased with just having one good performance. And you really get the feeling, I think, that he's going to maybe have a pretty good stretch of games coming up. Maybe not, but I think he will. He changed his plate approach for the Illinois State game. He said he wanted to simplify things. He opened up his stance a little bit, got rid of a leg kick, kind of traded that in for a toe tap, something that we've seen Christian Franklin use with a lot of success this season. I think if Arkansas can get Martin going, then this becomes a different team. You saw it just a little bit in the Illinois State game. The Razorbacks made a lot of things happen at the plate, and Casey Martin was a big part of that with some big hits with runners in scoring position. But in that game, the bullpen just couldn't make the two-out pitch a few times, and that led to Illinois State scoring some runs and being able to extend its lead. It seemed like two or three times when Arkansas would get back in the game, Illinois State would get a big hit, extend their lead, and Arkansas just couldn't get that final run, similar to what happened in the Texas game and in the Baylor game down in Houston. Up until that point on Tuesday, the Arkansas bullpen had been pretty reliable. In Houston, the relievers pitched 13 and two-third innings and only allowed two earned runs. Now, there were some unearned runs because of the errors behind them, but just two earned runs in 13 and two-third innings in Houston. For the most part, the bullpen has been as advertised for Arkansas this season. Coming into the year, Van Horn said that he thought it might be one of the deepest bullpens he's ever had, and we've kind of seen that. We've seen Arkansas run a lot of arms out to the mound this season, and I'm not quite sure we've even seen all of the ones that we're going to see before the season's over. Dave Van Horn at the Swatters Club this week talked about Will McIntyre, a freshman from Bryant, who hasn't pitched this year. When I saw McIntyre pitch in the preseason, it reminded me a little bit of Brandon Moore, who was a pitcher at Arkansas 7 or 8 years ago, a guy that didn't have great velocity but could keep his pitches low in the zone, a ground ball out type guy, and I think you see that from McIntyre. Another one is Mark Adamiak, who hasn't pitched this season. This is a flamethrower from the right side, another Kansas City area guy on the team. He hadn't pitched this season, but I think you're going to see him pitch more as the year goes along. Maybe you see those guys in midweek games at first, but maybe you get to see them in some weekend settings as well. I think the bullpen is going to be really important this weekend when Arkansas plays South Alabama. Connor Noland is out with an oblique injury. Dave Van Horn thinks it's a relatively minor injury and that Noland will probably be able to pitch against Mississippi State, but he's not going to be able to make his scheduled start on Friday against South Alabama. There's always a trickle-down effect when a starter can't go. Let's say Noland would normally throw 5 or 6 or 7 innings in this game. Well, that's 5 or 6 or 7 additional innings that other pitchers are going to have to provide. Patrick Wicklander will start in Noland's place on Friday. Wicklander did not have a good outing against Texas last week. Just recorded 3 outs in that game, gave up 6 runs, again, as the defense kind of let the pitchers down in Texas. And you wonder, you know, maybe if Arkansas is able to get some of those outs early in that game, maybe things go a little bit different for Wicklander, but they weren't. And things just kind of seemed to unravel for him. Several of Texas hitters had seen Wicklander last season when he started the game in Austin during the midweek. You wonder if that might have had a little bit to do with his troubles, that there was that familiarity there for the Longhorns. Of course, we mentioned the errors behind him. But from what I saw last week, Wicklander was the opposite of what he had been before the week against Gonzaga. In that Gonzaga game, when I thought it might have been the best outing that Wicklander's had in his Razorback career, he was locating his secondary pitches. He threw 15 of 20 first pitch strikes in that game. But against Texas, he wasn't locating, and he threw seven of the 10 batters that he faced, first pitch balls. Texas sat on his fastball, and they were able to get him out of the game in the second inning. Outside of Wicklander, I thought it was a great pitching weekend, though, in Houston. We mentioned what the bullpen was able to do. Connor Nolan threw six quality innings against OU. One of the three runs against him was unearned. Again, defense not great behind the pitchers. And I also thought Cole Ramage looked really good. Looked the part of a weekend starter, maybe, against Baylor whenever he took the loss in a low-scoring game. But he was really effective, maybe more effective than we've seen him be in any start since he's been at Arkansas. He'll start Sunday against South Alabama. Caleb Bolden will start Saturday's game. Bolden hasn't allowed a run in his first 10 innings this season, and those are his first 10 innings back from Tommy John surgery. You kind of get the feeling right now that as Arkansas looks for the third weekend starter, that it might be between Ramage and Bolden at this point. And finally, before we get to Pat Combs, a few thoughts on Arkansas's lineup. First, Heston Kerstad. I don't think you can find anybody playing better than him right now. Kerstad, I think, is playing at a player of the year level. I don't know if that means national player of the year or just conference player of the year, but it's a level that, you know, through 11 games, and I know it's early, but through 11 games, really playing at a level that I don't know that anyone else is playing at right now from a position player standpoint. He has a hit in every game for the Razorbacks, leads the team with five home runs. I think he has 14 RBI. You just almost feel like every time Kerstad comes up to the plate that he's going to get on base, his on base right now is 509 going into the South Alabama series. That's going to fall some throughout the season, you got to believe, but through 3 weeks, just what a great performance that Heston Kerstad has had. I've also been really impressed with Christian Franklin. Talked a little bit earlier about how the toe tap has, you know, helped him in his swing, and maybe that'll help Casey Martin going forward. You know, Franklin was a good hitter last year, but it seems like he's taken it to another level, at least compared to where he was through 3 weeks, through 3 weeks last season. The non-conference portion has gone really well for him this year. He enters this weekend series batting 390. He's also playing really good defense, I think, for the Razorbacks in center field. I also like the move that Dave Van Horn made last week to put Robert Moore near the top of the lineup. What can you say about Robert Moore's production to this point in the season? Just great play so far from him. I thought the at-bat that he hit the home run against Oklahoma was as good of an at-bat as we've seen all year. Fouled off a lot of pitches and then finally got the pitch that he could hit, and he drove it into right center field there at Minute Maid Ballpark. You just really can't say enough good things about Robert Moore, I think, to this point in the year. As far as two strike hitters go, he's one of the best that's on the Arkansas team. I think Matt Goodhart looks like he's probably about to break out of this little slump that he's had early in the season. Of course, remember, his shoulder's still healing. I don't know if the shoulder really affects him that much from a swinging standpoint, but you got to figure that as that surgically repaired shoulder continues to heal and improve, that maybe his swing will come along. He's hit the ball hard several times. Of course, had that great hit in the ninth inning of the game against Texas that came just inches away from being a game-tying home run. I think Goodhart has kind of flown under the radar a little bit. He's batting in a lot of runs for the Razorbacks this year. Arkansas still needs to find a reliable leadoff man. Braden Webb just hit and hit and hit in the preseason, but that hasn't carried over yet into the season. Had a good first weekend against Eastern Illinois. Hasn't been as good the last couple of weeks, although he did have a game against Gonzaga after he had been taken out of the lineup, came back and had a three-hit day. So he's shown some potential. I think he could still be their leadoff man moving forward. But you wonder if maybe Arkansas might look at a different player, maybe a Robert Moore, maybe a Zach Gregory in the leadoff position some this weekend. When we come back, we will talk to Pat Combs about what he saw from the Razorbacks in Houston.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
The Whole Hog Baseball Podcast is brought to you in part by First Watch. Check out their selection of breakfast, brunch, and lunch menu items at one of three locations in Northwest Arkansas, on College Avenue in Fayetteville, on Village Parkway in Rogers, and on Southeast Walton Boulevard in Bentonville, firstwatch.com. Pat Combs spent 4 years in Major League Baseball as a pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies. He was the TV analyst for all nine games at the Shriners College Classic last week, and he joins us now. Pat, we appreciate you taking some time for us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Matt.
So, you know, obviously it was a tough weekend for Arkansas down in Houston, but they played really good teams, and so I wonder how you kind of, gauge the two. How good is Arkansas, and how good was the competition that they were playing?
Yeah, man, I think Arkansas is going to be fine. I mean, they came in with a, flying high, had a great start to the season. And, of course, the competition in Houston was outstanding. And I think even took some folks by surprise at how well the Big 12 teams played. So, but I think overall, Arkansas looked solid. They lost a couple of close games. They lost a couple of games where they had leads. But overall, I saw a good team, a team that could potentially get back to the College World Series.
Pat, obviously, some of the questions this year about the Razorbacks had to do with their starting pitching. And, Connor Noland seemed like he had a pretty good outing down there. Patrick Wicklander didn't go so good for him. And then Cole Ramage, I thought, maybe was one of the better starts that he's had at Arkansas. I just wonder how you would assess maybe their starting pitching. And how much better do you think pitching gets, say, from week three of a college baseball season to, the end of the regular season?
Yeah, I thought the pitching was okay. There wasn't anything, that I saw from Arkansas's rotation that said, boy, this is the group. This is the starting three for sure. Mm-hmm. Ramage did look good on Sunday, and I thought out of the three, he was probably the sharpest. Nolan looked good as well. But, I think that's the question mark always. You go into a season and Dave Van Horn's looking up and down, his pitching roster and trying to decide, which pieces are going to go where. And so far early in the season, I think there's still some question marks, especially with the way the rotation. So it may not be completely set. But knowing that, I mean, you look back at the bullpen and the arms come out of the pen. I mean, there's no doubt the talent's there. He's got plenty of arms to choose from. But I think like many coaches, after the first 3 weeks of the season, you're still trying to figure out, are these my top three guys or my go-to guys, and especially when conference starts, or are there still some question marks? And I think coming away from Houston, there's probably still some question marks.
Now, did I hear right that you either knew or did you coach Cole Ramage when he was growing up?
Yeah, I had Cole for a summer with the Dallas Patriots. So I still stay in touch with a lot of these guys that I have the great honor to coach. And it was great to see Cole before a couple of the games and after the second game. And was looking forward to calling his game on Sunday, obviously. But, yeah, he and his family, great family out of Southlake. My sons played with Cole as well. So, it was great to see him in Houston.
He has been a pitcher who's kind of had an up and down last couple of seasons, maybe last season's a better way to put that. Dave Van Horn was talking before the Baylor game that he wanted to give him a full week and let him know he was going to be the starter as opposed to, maybe wait until Sunday and then let him know. I wonder, as a pitcher, how much do you think that helps, having that time to prepare? And maybe what did you see specifically from Cole on Sunday that you thought made him look sharp?
Yeah, I think anytime you have a pitcher that wants to be a starter and you give him that preparation time, most guys can process that pretty well. I've coached some pitchers that, they you can bring them out of the pen and just say, hey, you're starting in 2 days, and they're okay with that too. So, it just depends on the pitcher and the kind of mentality they have. But I think for Cole, I mean, he was our go-to guy in the summer, and he was our number one guy. And I just told him, I said, look, when your spot in the rotation comes around, you're the guy we're counting on to give us, you know, six, seven innings every outing, and that's what the team needs you to do. And he was great in that role. So I think a lot of it has to do with even the confidence that pitchers feel from the pitching coach and from the head coach. You know, do they trust me? Do they have confidence in me? And I think most guys, Matt, want to have that preparation time. If you're in the starting rotation, you know, you need to have that process laid out. You know when your bullpen day is. You know when you're going to take the day off the next day and do some long toss and then, you know, get ready for that start. So I definitely think it helps most starters to have some know in terms of when they're going to be in that rotation.
I understand Cole was a pretty good kicker, too, growing up in Southlake.
I always told him that was the fallback, right? If pitching didn't work out, he could always go back to kicking. But, yeah, he's just a tremendous athlete. And, you know, when you think about the mentality of a kicker when the game rides on him in certain instances, I mean, Cole handled those situations really well. You know, he's got a great mentality, kind of nerves of steel kind of guy. That's why I always thought even he would be a good bullpen guy as well, because he can come out in any situation and he just nothing changes with him in terms of his mentality and his approach. You know, he could be the guy that gives you that game-winning kick at the end of the game, or he could be the guy that starts the game as a starting pitcher, and he handles all those roles pretty well.
Arkansas had a terrible football game up here about two or three years ago, lost to TCU in Fayetteville, and they missed two real short field goals. And Dave Van Horn told me after that, he said, I went to Cole and told him, don't you get any ideas.
Probably some good advice if you don't want him switching over, right? But, no doubt.
Pat, let's talk some about Arkansas's lineup and specifically what you saw in Houston. Let's start with Heston Kerstad. He's a guy that just continues to tear it up for Arkansas. I think he's got an 11-game hit streak going into the weekend. Hit a big-time home run, I thought, in the Texas game to center field there at Minute Maid. Just your thoughts on him and maybe how he projects to the next level.
Yeah, I thought Kerstad quite possibly was the best player in the tournament, and that, I think, speaks volumes for the amount of talent that we saw. You know, Nick Lofton comes to mind at Baylor. Mm-hmm. I thought he had a great tournament as well. But, yeah, when you like, do a comparison of those guys that we saw this weekend, I mean, Kerstad stands out, you know, head and shoulders above the rest. And I think he's going to have just an outstanding, you know, future major league career. You know, when you get a left-handed swing as sweet as he's got, and then you – start to think from a pitcher's mentality, how do you pitch to that guy? You know, where are his weaknesses? And he's got such tremendous plate coverage. I mean, if you're an Arkansas fan, you've seen the results, right? I mean, the guy is just incredible. So from a scouting perspective and projectability, I think he's a guy that you'll definitely see at the next level playing for a long, long time. And he just needs to stay healthy. So, you know, obviously Dave Van Horn has built that lineup around him. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, having him in the third hole, that's exactly where he belongs. You know, he's got the power and he hits for average and that's where you put him and leave him alone. So, but up and down the lineup, Matt, I thought there are some holes, you know, and he's going to have to solve. I mean, you look at what happened with Casey Martin this weekend, yeah, and you just go, gosh, poor guy. It's just his head is not where it needs to be. And look, you watch baseball long enough, you know, everybody goes through slumps. It's now just, how do you handle it and how do you work your way out of it? And he's just in a tough place right now. So, you know, probably taking him out of the lineup on Sunday was a really smart thing, give him a mental break. But, look, he's a great player. And I saw some of the tweets and stuff going out over the weekend. And, man, you just got to realize he's a young player. He's still developing. And, man, for people to come down hard after the season he had last year, hey, he's had a rough start. But there's no doubt Casey Martin's going to come back. He's a really solid baseball player. So he'll come back. But I still think – there's some youth in the lineup. Those guys have to gain experience. They're going to get better and better as they go. But you've got a good combination of speed and power. You know, when you lose a guy like Casey Martin in terms of just his output, you've got to figure out how to replace him and kind of work around that. So then on Sunday, you know, Dave had to kind of jiggle his lineup up a little bit to try to figure out how to piece that together. And one other player that I thought was just tremendous, who is going to be the next Kerstad, is Robert Moore.
Yeah. Let's go back to Martin for a minute. On Tuesday night, when Arkansas played Illinois State, he went 4-for-5, had 3 RBI, scored a run, had a really nice game for the Razorbacks, came through with runners in scoring position 2 or 3 times in that game. The thing that they did on Tuesday night, Pat, was that they kind of opened up his hips just a little bit to give him a little wider stance, and then they told him to get rid of the leg kick and go to the toe tap. I know you pitched, but, I mean, did you ever go through something like that where it was just one maybe small little fix to something that seemed so, you know, minute that it completely changed everything that you were doing?
Yeah, that, there's no doubt, and that's what great coaching can do. They can just tweak something. You know, it's tough to wholesale change somebody, and you oftentimes see pitchers who will come into, D1 program, and if the pitching coach has a particular mechanical approach, you know, he may try to wholesale change a pitcher, and that usually takes a pretty long adjustment period. But, yeah, when you see a little tweak or something that can – even in a setup where a player moves his hand slightly from – maybe, towards his ear, towards, you know, maybe going an inch back with his setup. I mean, there's those great hitting coaches that can diagnose those things and look at swing plane and launch angles and the things now that scientifically are part of the game that we didn't have even, you know, 15 years ago, 10 years ago. I mean, it really has changed the approach in terms of how you coach. So when players are adaptable in that way, you know, to be able to take something that you're being coached up on and then put it into you know, practical use right away, just to even see if it'll work. I mean, sometimes these tweaks, you experiment with them to see if it'll even take and work. And to be able to do that quickly and have a player like Moore who can incorporate that and is very coachable, I mean, that's like a coach's dream, right? Mm-hmm. a young player that's talented, and in order to help him maybe with the approach on the hips was either to add power or to keep him on the swing plane longer. You know, that sometimes can really help make the adjustment when you're seeing, you know, 96 to 98 mile an hour fastballs compared to what you saw in high school, and then just kind of get those hands to that hitting zone just a tad quicker.
Yeah.
But to be able to see a player make that adaptation and do it quickly and then not have it affect his performance or maybe even increase his performance right away, that's incredible.
Yeah, Martin's got such good bat speed that he's able to see the ball later into the zone and still be able to get to it. I wonder, as a pitcher, how much are you watching Casey Opitz in Houston? And when Jim Schlossnagle was here for the regional last year, he talked about how much fun it was. I think he said, I could watch him catch every day for the rest of my life because he's so engaged with his pitchers. And I really thought you saw that when Arkansas got behind against Texas and Baylor the other night. You know, he seemed to be really into those games.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. And I think what Schlossnagle's talking about and what I saw with Casey was just the leadership skills behind the plate. You know, when you have a catcher that can coach from behind the dish, I mean, that's just a huge asset for any team. The other thing I thought Opitz does really well, I'm willing to bet he bought probably 7 to 8 strikes in each of those games he caught. I mean, just the way he frames pitches, the way he lifts those low pitches, you know, when there, and there's some great techniques behind that, but it's very difficult to master being able to take your thumb and get it underneath a pitch and bring it into the strike zone and get the call. And I thought Opitz did a great job for the Arkansas pitching staff. And again, that's stuff that translates to the next level. That's stuff that Major League scouts see, and they love that because they're, you know, typically in a college situation, you've got a catcher who maybe has some skill, but they got to smooth out those edges and try to teach him some of those techniques that he would learn at that next level. Well, Opitz has already got it. I mean, he's a very polished college catcher. And the fact that he can hit, he swings from the left-handed side, I mean, that's just that adds many more pluses to his game. So, again, he's one of those players that obviously is going to get his chance at the next level. But, yeah, I think just an incredible leader for that pitching staff.
That receiving framing capability, you work with young players. It seems like it's something that you don't see as much anymore.
No, because it's not taught as well. And I think that's one of the – sometimes you look at young catchers that are raw, that have talent, and then you start looking at some of the finer techniques and things, and it's just not taught as well. And so definitely at the pro level, you know, you have to be able to do that. And then, you know, the transition from college to pro, now you're seeing guys throwing a little bit harder, a little bit better stuff, and to try to learn those techniques when you get there just makes it that much more difficult. So to see how polished he was, that was really impressive. I mean, he's a very talented catcher.
You talked about how players have to snap out of these funks that they get into. For a team like Arkansas, they've lost 4 in a row now, 3 of them by one run. How do they get out of this?
Yeah, this is that, you know, it's that old saying, you know, just keep your head down and keep grinding because they've got talent. I mean, there's no doubt the talent is there on that roster. But you also chalk it up to that's baseball. You know, I mean, you're going to go through – weeks like this where you just get into a little bit of a funk. I think when Casey Martin just came out of the gate so slow, and as you go into a season, you say, hey, who are guys we're really going to count on? You know, and obviously Kerstad is one of those guys, good heart, you know, Opitz. But then Casey Martin's name is right there in that mix with those guys. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when a team has a leader like that that goes down or has a slump, I mean, psychologically, it can kind of take the wind out of your sails for a bit. So they have to overcome that. I call a lot of the Baylor games. I saw that last year when Baylor got off to a slow start when their star catcher, Shea Langeliers, went down with a hamate bone injury. And he was out for the first 2 weeks of the season. And it was just kind of a malaise that kind of set over the team, like, oh, man, our guy's not here. You know, you have to start looking around at now what? Now what do we do, right? And it's just it's kind of a psychological thing with a lot of teams when a star player like that is just either not there or they're not being productive. So I think they're going to be fine. Look, they're going to work their way out. Dave Van Horn's a tremendous coach. He's got a great coaching staff. They're coaching those guys up hard. I think at times when something like this happens, teams begin to press. And this is not a team that needs to press. There's more than enough talent there that somebody else can step into that role. And as we've seen now, Robert Moore kind of steps in. To expect what he's done offensively, I think, has been a pretty pleasant surprise for a lot of folks. When I talked to Dave before the series started, he said, you know, we brought Robert in really as a defensive second baseman. Mm-hmm. And maybe it was going to bat him eighth or ninth in the lineup. Then all of a sudden, this kid turns it on like college baseball is no big deal. And so that ought to bring a pretty healthy added spirit to the club that, hey, we do have guys that can step into these roles and kind of propel the team. So I just say it's one of those times in the season where you get a little bit of a funk, and they just got to keep grinding and work their way out of it.
You'd definitely rather have this funk at this time of the year, I think, than toward the end. I'll get you out of it here on this. I think if you would have told me before the College Classic that Arkansas, Texas, and LSU would leave Houston with losing records there, I don't know that I would have believed it. It was really almost kind of an unbelievable weekend, and probably, you know, none more so than for your Baylor Bears.
Oh, no doubt, Matt. I mean, Baylor surprised. I think Missouri surprised. When this thing started on paper, you're looking at Missouri and Baylor possibly not winning a game, and they walk out of there with a 5-1 record, and you're exactly right. So here's the greatest piece of entertainment you have when it comes to baseball. You never know on any given day, right? That's what makes it such a great game. And so all those games were competitive, though. And I look at that tournament, and I still think there's probably three teams out of that tournament that can make it to the College World Series. I mean, definitely Arkansas, LSU for sure. And I think OU or Texas could sneak in there as well. But man, that was some great talent, some tremendous games. If you're a baseball fan at any level, that was some of the best baseball I've seen in a very long time. And to see it this early in the season was just an added bonus. So Matt, I think the Hogs are going to be fine. They're going to be one of those teams that's battling right there into a regional, super regional, potential College World Series. And we know in baseball, look, you got to just put it together at the right time, yeah. And that's the key. And so they're going to be fine.
Well, Pat, we appreciate your time, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Matt. Always appreciate it, and take care.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Up next for Arkansas is South Alabama. The Jaguars enter this weekend series at Baum Walker Stadium with a 7-7 record. South Alabama is 0-3 this year against teams from the SEC, with two losses to Vanderbilt and a 10-run loss earlier this week at Alabama. It has been a little bit of a surprising start for the Jaguars, who are ranked by Collegiate Baseball in the top 25 in the preseason and are expected to compete with the likes of Louisiana Lafayette, Coastal Carolina, and Texas State atop the Sun Belt Conference. Craig Stevenson covers South Alabama athletics for AL.com, and he joins us now to talk about the Jaguars baseball team. Craig, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, glad to be on.
So, Craig, kind of give us kind of a rundown, if you would, of where South Alabama is at this point in the year, 7-7 through 14 games.
Yeah, I guess you could characterize it as a little bit of a disappointment, though they have played a really tough schedule even before they play Arkansas. They went to Vanderbilt for two games. Mm-hmm. You know, they went on the road to Alabama the other day, and they played Indiana here in a tournament. So Mark Calvey's big on playing as tough a schedule as possible early on, because in the Sun Belt, you know, the only chance you've got to be an at-large is if you play a really tough schedule, because mm-hmm. there's not enough other good teams in the league to give you that boost. But I would say being 7-7, there's a little disappointment there. The offense has just been really, really bad. They're only hitting 200 as a team, only 46 runs in 14 games. They're striking out just at an incredible rate, 152 strikeouts and 431 at-bats over one-third of the time. I think they're confident that that's going to turn around as the weather gets warmer. It typically does. The pitching has been decent other than the back end of the bullpen, but I would suggest they probably feel like they should be about 10-4 rather than 7-7.
Yeah, it kind of seems like that's a similar story to Arkansas. Dave Van Horn talking this week, he thought if you look just the stats, he thought Arkansas would probably be a 9 or a 10-win team, and just 7-4 going into this series. I want to ask you about Drake Nightingale, the pitcher that Arkansas will see Friday mm-hmm. night. You know, it's interesting for Arkansas, they're going to see so many great pitchers in the SEC, but just before they get to that point, they've kind of had to go through a lot of, you know, really good college arms, preseason type conference pitchers of the year, and here's another one in Drake mm-hmm. Nightingale.
Yeah, he came back for his senior year. He wasn't drafted last year, but I think he probably put it out there that he wasn't interested in turning pro. But he was preseason conference pitcher of the year in the Sun Belt. Was a junior college transfer last year. Started the season in the rotation, kind of pitched his way out of it for a little bit. Then by the end of the year was pitching really well. And he's really hit the ground running this year. 30 strikeouts in 17 innings, only 4 walks. He has a tendency to hit guys. His start last Friday night against Gonzaga, he actually hit 4 batters in 6 1/3 innings. But, you know, throws hard, good breaking stuff, and is good a, you know, pitcher in this league, obviously.
Seems like his slider is really his pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. He throws pretty hard. I mean, he can get it right up to around 90. But, yeah, the breaking ball, the slider, when that's on, he's tough to hit.
What do you make of the South Alabama weekend rotation as a whole? I know, say, for instance, JoJo Booker, who's probably going to be a mm-hmm. Game 3 starter here, high draft pick out of high school, but it seems like maybe right. a little bit of erratic pitching from him, lots of wild pitches and hit batters and walks.
Yeah, absolutely. He's coming off some arm trouble last year. He didn't have surgery, but he had a sprained elbow ligament. They shut him down with about a month left in the year last year. So he's not quite back 100%. But even you know, when he got hurt last year, he was pitching really well. It was back and forth between he and Nightingale, who was the number one guy. He's another one that throws really hard, but sometimes, you know, has a tendency to get hit. You know, doesn't really walk that many, but, you know, he is often erratic, as you say, throws a lot of wild pitches and that sort of thing. So they're kind of easing him in. He's not, I would say probably not 100% full go, where you're just going to turn him loose and let him throw as many innings as he can. They're going to kind of manage things with him, until later in the year. Their Saturday starter, Miles Smith, who's a junior college transfer, actually from the same school as Drake Nightingale, has just really been bad. He's gotten lit up all 3 times he's pitched. I think what they want to do probably by the time they start conference play, Matt Boswell will probably be the third weekend guy. He's a JUCO transfer. Pitched very well at Vanderbilt a couple of weeks ago. And then in his second start against New Orleans, pitched a nine-inning shutout. Got hit a little bit at Alabama the other day, but I think they like him. So I think once they get through this gauntlet of playing, you know, great teams in the midweek like Vanderbilt, they play LSU next week, so he'll probably get that start. Once they get into the meat of the conference schedule, I would not be surprised to see him on the weekend.
As I look through the South Alabama stats here, the thing that jumps out at me offensively is Reed Powers with a .372 yeah. average, couple of home runs, 10 RBI in 13 games, but nobody else on the team batting above .300, and as a team, yeah. South Alabama just batting .200 this season.
Yeah, Powers is a part-time starter last year. They had two other senior catchers, and he's taken over as the full-time guy. Really has been a revelation, you said, this year, as you said, leading the team in just about everything. Ethan Wilson, preseason player of the year in the conference, probably has a chance, you know, based on his freshman year last year. He was the Sun Belt player of the year as a freshman, which had never happened before in this league. Had a chance to go down as one of the great players in the history of this program, and we're talking about a program that, you know, has cranked out guys like Luis Gonzalez, David mm-hmm. Freeze, Adam Lind over the years. But he's got off to a little bit of a slow start this year. I think teams are pitching around him for sure. He's, you know, it's a situation where he might get one good pitch during an at-bat to hit, and if he doesn't hit it, you know, he's either going to walk or pop up or something. And beyond him, though, Michael Sandel, the center fielder, is off to an okay start. Everybody else, though, has just been wretched. I mean, again, I think they're hoping that once the weather warms up, they'll start hitting the ball, because there are some guys on this team. Santi Montiel, who is a really good freshman last year. Caleb De La Torre, who's a senior, is off to a 6-for-49 start. Mm-hmm. Hunter Stokes, who came back from a back injury that cost him most of the year last year. So there are guys on this team that have played in this league and done the job before, but it just seems like other than Powers and possibly Wilson, everybody on the team is slumping at exactly the same time.
South Alabama, have they typically been a poor hitting team like this under Mark Calvey, or is this kind of a one-year aberration?
You know, they've not been really a bunch of mashers at all, mm-hmm. But they've been better than this. They've usually been a pretty balanced team, even though Calvey's background is as a pitching coach. He was the pitching coach at South Carolina when they started their national championship run back in the early part of last decade. But they've usually been pretty balanced. Defensively, they're usually a pretty strong team, and, you know, only 7 errors in 14 games kind of mm-hmm. Dictates that. But this is really a surprise, because I think they had six/seven guys who had been full time starters by the end of the year last year, or in the case of Stokes was a starter 2 years ago coming back, and it's really kind of surprising that guys like De La Torre and Dakota Daly, Hunter Stokes, Santi Montiel have not hit early in the year.
As I look at South Alabama's schedule, just 3 road games this year, but all of them, or to this point in the year, but all of them have been in SEC stadiums. Just kind of what do you think, you know, they're in terms of being road ready, South Alabama is right now?
Yeah, they went to Vanderbilt 2 weeks ago, and they got shut out twice. It was 3-0 and 4-0, but they, mm-hmm. you know, you had to be happy with the pitching they did in that series. And then, you know, they went to Alabama the other day, got up early, and then Alabama just, you know, started mashing the ball. So I think they'd be really happy if they could go to Arkansas and win one. You just don't want to go over there and get swept and get embarrassed. They went to Texas Tech a couple of years ago, kind of in a similar situation. That was Texas Tech. Ended up being a national seed at the end of the year, and they had a couple of one-run games in that series, so they felt good coming out, even though they didn't get any wins. But, obviously if you get one win, you feel really good. And with Drake Nightingale on the mound on Friday night, it gives you a chance.
Well, Craig, we appreciate your time.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, Craig Stevenson for AL.com. Go to AL.com to read more of his coverage of South Alabama. Again, the Razorbacks play the Jaguars Friday at 3 o'clock, Saturday at 2 o'clock, and Sunday at noon. That Sunday game is an hour earlier than on printed schedules. It was moved up to accommodate South Alabama's travel plans back to Mobile. Those are games 2, 3, and 4 in the Razorbacks' 6-game homestand at Baum Walker Stadium. Arkansas also plays Grand Canyon on Tuesday and Wednesday before opening SEC play at Mississippi State next weekend. We'll be at the ballpark all weekend and have coverage at WholeHogSports.com. Be sure to visit our baseball forums while you're there, where you can interact with our reporters and other fans 7 days a week. Visit WholeHogSports.com/subscribe for more information, and remember that your subscription to the Democrat Gazette also includes access to WholeHogSports.com. Our thanks to Pat Combs and Craig Stevenson for being part of this week's show. Thanks also to Seth Campbell, Tom Murphy, and Michael Minshew for their contributions. We would also like to thank our sponsor, First Watch, a great breakfast, brunch, and lunch destination with locations in Fayetteville, Rogers, and Bentonville. For an experience that feels good and tastes even better, visit First Watch today. By supporting them, you are supporting our podcast, and we thank you. We'll be back next week to talk about the start of SEC play. Until we see you here again, we'll see you at WholeHogSports.com. I'm Matt Jones. Have a great week, everyone.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.